morning. Good morning from Sacramento, California. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show. And I got to give a praise break right quick. I don't have COVID. I got a sinus infection that is out of this world. So if you have sinus problems, allergy problems, you know this time of the year, we always suffer. So I'm suffering over here, but pray for me. And we're going to break it in like this. Good morning, y'all. Good morning, good morning.
God's going to use your story. God's going to use your testimony. Oh, I need somebody in here with a nasty testimony to open up your mouth. Say, I wasn't in church all my life. I did some stuff. I should have been in jail. I should have been dead. But he was lifted high. And on a tree. We'll be right back.
morning, good morning, good morning. Excuse me.
My brother.
I'm going to do a run roll call right quick. Brother Yusuf, you there?
I'm right here, family.
All right, all right. Mark the Disciple, you here?
I'm present, Grand Rising Kings and Queens.
Mama Chocolate, you here?
Good morning, Kings and Queens. I am here.
The host with the most, Mr. Marville, way down there at the bottom. We got a lot of people on here. Marville, you there?
I'm at the bottom, huh?
Man, you at the bottom.
That's all right. That's all right. Hey, first, last become first.
Double R, up under you. Double R.
Double R in the car.
Ashe, ashe. Big money.
This is the day the Lord has made. Yesterday I could not rejoice and be glad in it, and I'll tell you why later.
All right. And then we have Sherman.
Good morning, all. Good morning. God be with you all. Could you please mute mine because I'm on the bus. I yield back.
All right, all right. Just raise your hand when you want to get in. The rest of you all, please, if you're not talking, mute your mic if you think that there's going to be some background disturbance, because I listened to yesterday's broadcast, and it was beautiful, man. I like when people disagree and then, you know, still have love for one another, because that's how the enemy does it. He disagrees a lot of times, but yet, you know, he won't be in your way. If he can't get you when he wants you, he ain't going to stay in your way. He's going to get out the way and go find somebody else, right? And so I seen how y'all went south, left, right, but yet we came back in love. We respect each other. So let's keep the respect, and I'm going to pass it over. Man, I'm dealing with a sinus infection out of this world. If anybody know about the pain of sinus infection, it ain't a throbbing pain, like my mentor said. It is a pain that's just there. And, I'm up under it. I feel good some days. And I took this white man medicine, this amoxicillin, he said, to get the film or whatever that stuff I'm got coming out me. He gave me that, and it just turned me all the way around, y'all. I guess you got to get. It go worse before it get better. But I'm going to pass this over to Marville. Marville, have a good show.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'm hearing a little something. Sound like something scratching or breathing or something. And before we go forth, I appreciate it if whomever may suspect that they're causing this, that they address that, because it's a distortion that will probably have an impact on our ability to carry this message. So I'm going to wait and see if somebody.
That's one of them hard breathers. Marville, that's one of them hard breathers, man. Yes, so
is that what
just
it is?
Everybody look at your phone and mute your phone until it's time to talk. I breathe like that, and I don't know if that was me, so I'm going to mute myself and get up out of here.
Yeah, that's what it kind of sounded like. I didn't want to think that, but it kind of sounded like that. And we're hopeful that whoever that is okay, because it's kind of pronounced. So today we still have some floating concerns about our conversation yesterday. And we'd like for the parties that are interested to address whatever issues that are outstanding. And we'd like to do that. And, of course, we're going to do it diplomatically. Of course, we're going to do it respectfully. But I think it's important that we clear the air about the concerns and questions that still linger. And I think, Brother Yusuf, You're kind of, you know, you brought some things that caused the rise in interest. So, Griff, I think that in closing, you had something that you wanted to share, but we ran out of time. So let's get back to whatever, if you still have that recorded that you want to share or that you want to get clarity about, let's open it up with that. So, Griff, you have the floor.
Thank you, Marvell. To Brother Youssef, you know, I listened to your truths yesterday, and I really don't subscribe to it, but I've lived at least three quarters of my life, so this is your turn now. So I'm going to start calling in on only Mondays and Fridays, like Double R has asked me to do in the beginning, because I don't subscribe to your truths. Now, yesterday I noticed everything you talked about was negative, whether it was Biden, whether it was slavery, whether it was nothing has changed. The only thing that I heard you say that was positive was that you have 115 acres of land. So my question to you, young man, is this. Did you tell Tim where your land is? Did you tell Tim what's on your land? Did you tell Tim how much your land costs? Did you tell Tim what you plan to do with your land? I'm concerned about that. I hear you say that you got land, but I'm not hearing the good piece about what you're doing with your land. Where's your land at? You got 115 acres. What city is it in? What state is it in? I need to know these things. See, I'm not gullible. And that's why I'm going to go to Mondays and Fridays. You can have 6 hours, and I'll have 4 hours. I'll do Monday and Friday because your truths are not my truths, and it's obvious that people that are listening to the sound of my voice agree with you, your truths. And so what I'm saying to your truths is that I can't get with the negative. I have to get with the positive. I think there's a lot that has changed in this world. For instance, we never had computers. We never had phones. You talk about there's no change. Nothing has changed. A lot has changed. We're here. A lot of us have died. We die at an early age. A lot of us are living longer. There's a lot of change that has gone on. This is not the same. This is a new world we're in. And I just have a problem with that, bro. But I hear you. And your truth is not my truth. And obviously, listeners like your truth better than they like my truth. And that's fine. You know, like I said, I lived three quarters of my life. It's your turn now. So if they want to see, what I look at is this. I came up at a time when right was right and wrong was wrong. We're coming up now where wrong is right and right is wrong. And we talked about how the pants are sagging off our butts. Here's 40 years later, and we're still doing some stupid mess like that. That has changed. We had one guy come on and say that it happened during slavery. Well, what about the 400 or 500 years that we didn't do it? And now all of a sudden we're doing it these last 40 years. So you're going to let 400 or 500 years go by, tell us that it happened during slavery, and we didn't have that problem for 400 or 500 years, but yet you want to sit up and buy into that and believe that, and that's fine. I don't subscribe to that. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'll just back up and do like Double R, Big Money. I want you to come on Mondays and Fridays. And then I heard Tim say, you know, we on Monday through Friday. So I started trying to call in Monday through Friday. But I'm going to let you have it, bro, because, you know, my fight is not against my own flesh and blood. My fight is against people in high places. And I'm not going to fight against you, bro. And you have your truths, and I have my truths. And my truths does not subscribe to your truths. I digress. I yield back. You have the floor, and there's so much more. But that's enough for now. Youssef, it's on you.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to say my respect to my elders. I don't like getting in confrontations with my elders because I understand where they're at in their time. As you stated, there is a new time, a new day, a dawning of a new day as well. All things old will become new. You spoke of me not telling Brother Tim where my land at, how much it costs. I don't think that's no man's business. How do I require it? I don't think that's no man's business. But I invited Tim to put a house on my land, and he could verify that. My land is for privacy, not for the whole world to know. As I see this thing here collapsing, I built an ark, a prepared place for me and my loved ones, friends and family, with no charge. Only thing they have to purchase is their tiny home, their camper, or whatever, with no charge. That's my ark. So as far as you saying that I haven't told Tim anything, he can verify that I have. I am a man about what I stand on. I see what I see. Everybody's not blessed to see what I see. So I teach. I'm not here to argue with no man, fuss with no man, fight with no man, because I learned from Noah. You just keep building, my brother. That's all you do. You can't worry about the rest. Worry about your loved ones. So I just build. And I do like Noah. Hey, y'all, a storm is coming. A storm is coming. Because many people's party to the day of. And I'm just trying to tell my folks, let's not go through the suffering again. Let's see. You mentioned that you wrestle with the evils of this world, the principalities. At the same time, we're rooting for genocide. We're rooting for high inflation. We're rooting for homelessness. We're rooting for all the things that they say will come in the last days. Till you live, we are in our last days of your life, in the 500 years, in the 500 years before then, in the 500 years before then. So what I'm here to say is that their time is up. We got to get out the way of their fall. And I'm just sounding the alarm. Pay attention, family. This thing is globally. What I speak, you can research, because I don't lean on my own understanding to back it up, because I don't lean on my own understanding. I am what you would call a foolish man. I've been through a lot. I've done a lot. I done played every game that you think you can play on this earth. With women, I played games with the hustle game. I did it all. But I would sit down and said, I need you, son. And I was here. And I heard and I obeyed. I was standing in the club with a fishbowl of Hennessy when I heard the voice. Not just a brandy shifter. I'm talking about a fishbowl because I was that type of guy. And I set it down and I walked out and never walked back in the club since. I was 48 at the time. And everything I've been doing since then, I've been astute, learning, researching. And the more he pour on me, every time I take a shower, he pour more on me, like I'm being baptized in water. I'm receiving download. And my mission is to get the blood off my hands by exposing what he's exposing to me. And that's it. You can take it or leave it alone. But I'm warning my people that, hey, something is coming, a storm, economically, what we call physically, what we call biologically, psychologically, all of it's connected. This is the kind of storm that Noah didn't have to deal with. He just dealt with water and then washed away. The storms we got coming is going to be even detrimental to what he witnessed or lived, because everybody didn't die in his storm. Everybody didn't. But it's going to be a lot of death this time. So we watch in the world. He said the missiles will fall, the stars will fall from the heavens. And it would destroy everything, literally. So when I read that in scriptures, only star that can fall from heaven is a missile. Those are the rumors of wars. And he said these missiles or these stars will move mountains. That's telling me that that star got to have power. He said man is going to do this, not him. So I'm just breaking down scriptures and telling you guys, my family, it's about that time. And he gave me instructions where to go, not me. This land that I have never been in this state in my life. I was chosen to go. When I purchased the land, what I did was ground myself, my feet in the dirt to feel the energy of the land. So I'm digging my foot in the dirt, making sure my toes and feet is covered. And when I looked up, I seen a nuclear bomb go off, a mushroom cloud. And then that's when I looked at my realtor, the land realtor, and said, this is the place, because it made me feel safe. And then when I did, after I did that, I opened my land up to people. I opened it up. Hey, whoever can afford to come, put a tiny house, because I don't have shelter for everyone. You got to build your own comfort. And that's it. I'm not here to harm you, my brother. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, my brother. I'm just telling you what's going on and what I see. And if you choose to listen and do your own due diligence by researching, then you will understand. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What we must understand is the knowledge of what? We must study to show thyself approved. Study what? We got doctors, lawyers, and everything else. What are we missing? What are we missing? I'm just showing you what we are missing. I digress, my brother.
Ashe, and I'm here to bear witness that the brother, as soon as he purchased his land, gave me a call, invited me to come look at the land, to come put a house on the land, to come share in his vision, right? And he also came on this show and mentioned it to people that have been on this show that have heard Brother Yusuf. He mentioned it to them previously and invited them as well. And so what I do know is that there's no reason for you not to call in daily if you got the time to do it, Big Money. We need you as much as we need Brother Yusuf. We need you as much as we need Brother Mark. And so, like I said, when we disagree, it's okay. It's okay. Your understanding, his opinion, your opinion, and nobody taking those sides. We're all taking down notes and doing research ourselves, right, on what both of you are saying and all of you are saying, right? We're taking notes, man, because we are a people of division. We are a people that are lost. And a lot of people don't want to say we lost, but we are lost. Anytime that we cannot approach our young folks in a manner of respect and get respect, we're lost. Whenever our young folks is running out there lost, and we can't get a hold of them to give them some clarity of who they are, where they come from, where we going, we're lost. We don't have a culture. Everybody say build the culture, rebuild the culture. We don't have no culture, man. Some folks are religious or spiritual. They have a spiritual culture. I can say that. But as a whole, we don't have that. We don't have that because we fight against each other, and the enemy knows that. And so they rely on us to tear each other down. They rely on that, man. And so I'm going to leave it there because I don't want us to tear each other down. I want us to, you know what I did once? Rev and Double R, when they first got on here, and they had a misunderstanding, the first thing I did is I said, I'm going to need y'all to call each other and talk offline as men. And them brothers did that. And when they came back even stronger. I heard where Double R sending prayers to Rev, and Rev receives them. And at when at first, they was at each other for a minute, for real. They was at each other for a minute, don't even know each other. They thought they did, or I guess they did, But once they talked on the sideline, man, they found out they still black men in America that's going through it with their people. And so all I ask is that whenever we have a distraction or something that may have a brother not wanting to deal with his brother, I ask that y'all talk so you can get that understanding, at least have understanding of why I'm not going to deal with you if I'm not going to deal with you, right? And I just ask that you allow God to be in the presence, because where two or more are gathered, he's there in the midst. But the devil also is sitting on another shoulder. And I just wanted to offer that to y'all, man, because both of y'all are fine men. I know out of just conversation that you both are fine men and you want the best for your people, period. That's the bottom line. That's what y'all have in common. See, we can talk about what you disagree about, but let me tell you what you got in common, and maybe you can work from there. You love your people enough to give the message, and that's where I start at. Marvell?
The most difficult thing I've observed and have been told to do is explain a spiritual experience. I've had several of them, and what I've found is the best thing to do is only talk to those who have a kinship with that, the power of a spiritual experience. So when Yusef was giving me the background of where his energy is coming from and what spirit has directed him toward what he does now, I understand his dilemma. And it's not an easy thing to do when God anoints you with a task and it's uncommon and it's difficult to bridge, but you are steadfast and you are committed to doing what God's telling you to do, come from elsewhere, or despite the rebukes that you might receive. Because every time you come on here, Yusef, I tip to apprise you that a lot of things might be a hard sell for people in our listening audience, as well as our faithful regulars, because some of the things suggest that we look in a direction that we certainly don't want to consider. And that's the crux of what I'm hearing in your presentation, is that a lot of the things we as a people have a hard time visualizing, right? It's just like when somebody does something that really is heinous and devilish to someone, we scratch our heads because we don't think like that, you know. So the hard sell is looking at information or looking at circumstances that are so far flung from anything that we might think. We just, I won't say we, but I have a tendency, I have to really open my mind and say, oh, well, this is a potential to happen. And so if it's a readiness that's necessary to be gotten, then maybe I should consider getting ready just in case. But as far as me being convicted like you are, I don't have that anointment, and I don't have that task. But I understand that you do, and you're living in it, and I appreciate and respect you for how you stand in your anointment and in your assignment. And keep on briefing us, brother. Only thing I can suggest is you be mindful, because I say this all the time. When we're on this project, the people that come on here regularly are the ones who have more vision than the average person. And in this case, you have far more vision than we, the visionaries, have. So I appreciate it if you just consider bridging this in a way, getting a little more clever and bridging this in so that we can digest what you're saying and not automatically go on defense, because a lot of this stuff that you're saying is so very difficult to fathom. yet I don't doubt for 1 minute that where you bringing this from is coming from the Spirit of God. And it comes from a love for your people, my brother. And I have no question about that. And I merely want to say that every time we have these exchanges, do what Tim said, y'all have a conversation, man, because I don't want you, Griff, I don't want you backing up saying that you think that we're siding with an opinion, because that's not true. We're siding with what gets closer and closer to the truth that we can absorb, and closer to a truth that we can live in and work as a body to make happen. And that's what this project is all about. We're going to try to take away, I said, to separate the wheat from the chaff, be able to tell the lie from the Memorex. Henceforth. So, brothers, y'all have a chat. And don't throw any towel on each other. That's all I can suggest.
So we have First Lady of Radio, Miss Clarice, and Brother Rev on. So, First Lady of Radio, Miss Clarice, good morning. You might be on mute.
Yep, she said, I talked to her early this morning. She said, see, that what happens to her.
Good morning.
Her phone goes
on. I'm sorry.
Good morning.
I'm in a noisy background, so I was keeping it on mute because I got a TV and two little girls. But
all
I'm
right.
listening, you all.
All right.
Thank you. I'll chime in later.
Good morning. Good morning. Rev.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. This is Rev. I was just briefly listening to where, I mean, I caught the whole tail end of that they got into a little misunderstanding, and I actually called you, Seth, yesterday, and turned out he met me years ago. I always find it a blessing because I don't remember nobody. You remember that, Tim? You say, hey, you remember me, Red? Like, no, I don't, dog. I just don't remember faces. If they don't call me or see me every day, it's just like one of them missed thoughts. But it was a good conversation. And I called him because I was believing in what he was saying. I don't care if I got the full knowledge or understanding, and that's where we all kind of fall short in. You know, I'll admit it as I do. I like have a third-grade education. That's life. Didn't know about history, math, all this other extra on top of things. But I appreciate those that have it. And that's what I was telling Youssef yesterday. It's like if I was fully knowledge in everything that I can do, I wouldn't be on this radio station. I would have went and produced my music. I would have went and produced my movies. I would have got my novels printed up. I would have everything done. But in order to have a full body, you got to have a dysfunction. If I ain't had no legs, I'd need y'all to help me get around. Feel me? So I look at the body of Christ. I think I mentioned just yesterday, somebody's got to be my fingers. Somebody's got to be my foot. Somebody's got to be my brain in order to point me and help me walk and go in the right direction. Other than that, I feel like it's a waste of my time to continue because I got all these different ideas, and y'all said, well, Rev, just narrow down to one. My family said that, and I got my paperwork on the side of me to prove that I have a mental disorder. So sorry. I was blessed with this. I claim it only because I know what it's worth. It's like admitting anything in life. You gentlemen on here admit that you've used drugs and that you sold drugs and blah, blah, blah. You admitted what you had in your life. This is something that's present in mine. I know I had it, but I didn't have no paperwork. So I don't find myself ashamed of it. I did years ago. But now I find my strength behind it because what I have, you don't have. You know, I'm different than everybody that's on this line. But I'm thankful, and I know as a whole, that's what we got to have. We got to really narrow down who's doing what, and put that body piece in the right area for what we're doing. Youssef, you got the land. We got big money just trying to, I mean, that man's all over the place. And Double R, he's been all over the place and still there. Marvell, Tim, everybody. All y'all got so much uniqueness about yourselves, and I'm honored to be here. I don't want to cause no problem. I don't like over-talking and none of that extra stuff. It's different for me. I didn't go through all this stuff in my life. So I find it a blessing to be on here to congregate with what I'm looking at, grown men, but I'm older than most of y'all on here. But, yeah, I yield to that. Keep us going. God bless.
I say.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Please do.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to say that I came on this platform, first of all, for knowledge and understanding. And you guys are, you have a whole bunch of a collective people here, diverse people with visionaries, people that have been there, done that. And I want to also say that I hope to see 75, 74. I hope to see that age and more. And I just want to also say that we can also be on this platform to get the knowledge and understanding and from one another. Something that I don't know and this other person knows, I want to absorb all of it so I can get a better understanding. And Brother Youssef, I didn't hear the whole conversation of yesterday, but I heard you today. And it just what you were saying about your land and you know, what prompted you to leave the club and all that, I applaud you for that. And then for my elder, I respect my elders, and I respect their opinions. And once again, you know, we have to learn. The old has to learn from the new school, and the new school has to learn from the old school. And I just want to say thank you for this platform, and once again, I'm here to learn and observe and absorb all the differences and all the collective stuff that we have together as a group. I yield.
Yeah, Double R, can I get that?
Hello? Yes, Double R, go ahead.
All right, I just want to, let y'all hear from the horses. First of all, Big Money, I think you misunderstood me once again. I never said Monday and Friday. I said we Monday through Friday. I needed you to talk reparations, okay? Just like you misinterpreted me when I said fail to plan to fail. That quote, that's, you know, write that down. I write stuff down so I can remember. Another thing with Rail, I didn't say that I thought he was somebody else. He thought I was somebody else. So we handled that situation. Back to Mr. Youssef, you did mention about the land in a close state, and it was a place of refuge for us, and I appreciate that, my brother, because of, you know, I guess the revolution that's going to kick in. But I got a question for you for yesterday. You quoted something about in the Bible about the word trunk. Could you repeat again? What scripture was that? I yield.
Yes, sir, my brother. That scripture is 1 Corinthians. You have to get the King James Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. You'll find that. And one other thing I wanted to bring to you guys' attention is the other brother, what's his name? Solution, Problem Solutions. The other, what's his, Mr. Griffin? Is that his name?
Big Money.
Big Money. Big Money mentioned Martin Luther King. I want to show y'all Martin Luther King in scriptures real quick, if you don't mind. If anyone had their phone on them, please go to Jeremiah chapter 23, please. And then I'm going to bring this to you guys' attention. This is Martin Luther King. If anyone have it up, please let me know.
Repeat that. I was away. I know I heard something. Repeat that.
Go to Jeremiah chapter 23, start at verse 24. And I'm going to read this to you guys, right? Just let me know when someone else have it. I want them to verify when I'm reading. It's not just me. And this is MLK.
Does anyone have it?
Yeah, Double R, I got it.
Okay, we're starting with 24, correct? Who can hide?
Chapter 23, verse 24.
Yes, we'll start with 24, yes. 23, 24. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them?
You said King James Version?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
That's the version that we started with here in America as, you know, so-called slaves.
Okay, I got it.
Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? Declare the Lord. Do not I fill the heavens and earth? Declare the Lord. 25. I've heard what the prophets said who prophesied lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesied these delusions to our own minds, that they, the dreams that tell one another, will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal's worship. Let that prophet who has a dream recount his dreams, but let the one who has my word to speak it faithfully. For what has drawn to do with grain, declare the Lord, is not my words like isn't my words like fire, declare the Lord, and I like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. Now, what Martin Luther King wanted was immigration. They wanted. The Most High wanted to separate us and keep us separated, just like we have Black Wall Street. Only thing we needed was the army in the heart of Judah, lions roaring and ready to fight back. But we still needed that separation no matter what they did to us. So integration, if you go back and Google photos of Martin Luther King and Jacob Rothschild and Loretta Scott King, you can find these images getting awards and things of that nature. Prophesized lies. They propped him up. And when they propped him up, he had a discussion with Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad. And after that discussion that Martin Luther King had with Elijah Muhammad and Martin Luther King, he came back a different man. Said, hey, I fear that I integrated my people into a burning house. And when he spoke that, that's when his death warrant came. Because he woke up and seen. Now, I mentioned yesterday that people need to find the Big Six interview of Malcolm X speaking about the liberals and their mission. Now, many of you elders are here, and I know many of you might recall what LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, said, I would have you niggers voting Democrat for 200 years. Now, tell me, how was he going to do that beyond his grave, unless it was a plan? I also stated that liberal is liberalism. And when you read in the scriptures, it's to separate themselves from the Most High. And this is the reason why they're offering transgender in our elementary schools to our children, grooming them the same way as Sodom and Gomorrah did. Nothing's new under the sun, but Mystery Babylon just became a bigger whore. And she's going to be destroyed like the days of old. And some of us are sounding the alarm. Wake up, brothers and sisters. The king is on his way. It's my duty to get the blood off my hands. If I don't get the blood off my hands as it is written, then I'm going to be burning in hell. My soul. And I don't want that. And also, I want my children to be saved. So I built my ark. I understood the assignment. And I'm carrying it out. Judge me all you desire, but I know my mission is my mission. Every man have their mission. I don't choose this for myself. I'd rather be out like I used to be, popping a finger, having a drink, and socializing. All of that is dead. Friends are gone because I don't speak with the same tongue. So they find me strange. I don't do this for happiness. There's sorrow in this. But my mission is my mission. I digress.
Hey, brother, I put up the scripture. I'd like to say something. You know, as
when I started on this show, I was saying things that many did not agree with, because I also have that same vision. As I would tell people, that we have to get back to basics. We have to get our own land, our own place of refuge. The Bible says, come out from amongst them that spitefully use you. We're battling principalities in high places. And we need Brother Youssef as much as we need Big Money Griff, because you're two ends of a bridge being built. And there's a medium in the middle. Once that bridge is built, then we all could see it. But until then, we're going to have our differences, because we're on different sides working towards the middle. So it's going to take disagreement. But somewhere in that disagreement, we will find an agreement. So I advise neither of you to separate yourselves from this broadcast, because it's needed. As I say, Brother Youssef, you know, you speak fluently. You said things in a manner that they heard, whereas I was saying it all along, but they never understood it. And that's what it takes. Each one of us can reach different people. We cannot reach the same folk because we speak a different language, or we have a different understanding about things. But there are those out there that have that same like-mindedness. So we need all of us to survive. We can't do it alone. No man wants to be an island. So we need each other. And I commend you, Brother Youssef, on your listening to the Holy Spirit. And I commend you, Brother Griff, on you listening to the Holy Spirit, because what you bring to us about reparations, we didn't have. Just like Brother Double R. You know, that's why I put Brother Double R on here. And Brother Double R brought you. See, one can bring one. Two could bring two. And just imagine how many of us, if we bring all of those that we know together, man, this thing gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna digress on that.
Double R, go ahead.
Brother Youssef, once again, you said about the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. It's talking about Trump himself. I have to disagree. This right here is talking about what we call the rapture. It talks about the Trump and then the last Trump, as far as the twinkling of an eye, things will be changed. As we look at the book of Revelations, when it talks about John the Revelator, when God told him to come up hither, that was a form of rapture when he was taken. So disagree with that Trump being Trump, my brother. Please speak about it.
Yes, sir. What you read there, I would like for you to read it out loud real quick so I can give the audience understanding or my opinionated, my opinion. So if you can read it for us, please, and then I will elaborate on it.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. This is what it says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is the rapture, my brother. This has nothing to do with Trump himself.
Okay, let me give you a breakdown on what you just read. I know we all have our own understanding, and I can contest to that. But what you just read is that when Trump came in office, he helped reveal the corruption of media, the brainwashing, the justice system, the Senate, the Congress, the presidency of the United States of America. He exposed all these entities to those who were blind. So we won't become incorruptible no more by their system. So what he did by him sitting in that place exposed everything for a man who had the eye of wisdom. The rapture is the awakening in a twinkling of an eye just because of his prosecution. This is the reason why he stood out and said, hey, now I understand what black folks going through because they're doing it to me. And if they could do it to me, you damn sure they're doing it to them. He was the first president of the United States to say, hey, black man, black woman, y'all built this country. Y'all just ain't seen it or heard it. He went to the Congress and told them, hey, these Indians y'all call the Indians, they ain't the real Indians. They don't look like Indians to me. You know what he said they look like, the Indians look like? He said the Indians look like Michael Jordan, the original. But what the media did made y'all look, made him look like he's a criminal, made him look like he was a hater. When that flag that they stand under every day at the Capitol celebrated slavery, endorsed it. Then once, when they took us out of one slavery, they put us in a modern slavery called taxation. Because they just didn't want one person to be taxed. They want everybody to be taxed for the crown. That way you make a bigger business for yourself, not just for one corporation. One person selling cotton, he making all the business, making all the money. Then they got together and said, hey, let's tax the world, and we have a bigger pot. Y'all got to understand the play. Trump, the only president of the United States, said, hey, I want to go after the FBI, the CIA, and the IRS to shut it down. But we said, no, we want the slavery. Keep lashing us. And at the same time, we hollering out to the Lord, please give us relief. Make it make sense. So that's what that scripture is saying, my friend. He was the exposer.
All right, I disagree.
But they blinded us. I hear you. We have our disagreement. We have our disagreement. Yeah. We can have those.
I studied the book of Revelations, brother, and the rapture is a mother, and they're talking about it right here when you go to that. So I know what exactly he's saying. It's talking about the twinkling of eyes. He's talking about the dead shall rise first. This is the rapture that we believe. And we're talking about the trump. We're talking about the trumpet will be sounded. It's not a man. It's actually Trump.
Listen, they spoke about trumpets and Trump, right? And the trumpet is, hold on, let me say about the instrument of a trumpet. A trumpet is a vibration that sends sounds through frequency, right? It comes in different forms. It comes in different notes, right? It comes in poetry. It comes in just instrumental. It comes in sounds, right? So when you think about a trumpet, it's not somebody going to be out there that's blowing some trumpet for you to hear. The trumpet can cause positivity and negativity. It can bring down buildings, as it spoke of in scriptures, and tear up a whole city. And also it can bring relief and understanding. You got to be able to understand and have discernment and decipher. I'm not here to battle with you over the scriptures. I'm just breaking it down. And you look at the orange man, as I call him, take the veil off and the bias and allow him to stand and see what he's up against. He's up against the government that's always been up against us for the 400 to 500 years, as their brother Griffin, Big Money, has said. Now, how did we, that goes into reverse. How we end up hating this man and end up loving the government all of a sudden. How did that switch happen? The same government is telling us to pay this all this money for rent, all this money for food, and telling us now we got to work till we're 60 years old. More slavery. Somebody said earlier that we're living longer. I beg the difference. You go to the scriptures. As a matter of fact, I was reading Isaiah this morning. He said after this destruction, we're going to go back to those days of old. Where we live in a long time. We living in the baby's time, in their age, in their control, in their leadership. They said in the scriptures, any man that died up on a year of at a year of 100 years old is a baby. So, brothers, today we dying at 50, 56, 60, heart failure, things of that nature, stress, tired of working. We got to look at the bigger picture. I digress.
Well, yeah, you're tuned in to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a moment for station identification and our local commercials.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle. Every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
It's Future the Don out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Tuning in with DJ One Gone.
Hey, and I thank all the other listeners for tuning in as well. Feel a lot better, man. I listen to y'all, man, and y'all, by, you know what? I'm going to say this. We are our own medicine. We are our own medicine. We are our own medicine. So I'm going to have to take two of you and have a good day. Here's the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell!
Okay, so, excuse me, on the heels of our taped announcements, I have a few reminders and a few apprisals of what is likely to happen on this network. On the 14th, at the Florin Square Mall, there will be what they call Earth Day, and on that day they're going to have a lot of festivities. And they're going to also going to have Larry's grandson is going to have a booth there where young chef is going to be selling his wares and his skills and the cooking. And I'm really looking forward to that because the boy can burn. And so don't forget this Saturday that there's a reparations meeting at the Florin Square as well from 1:30 to 3:30, in which I'm going to be picking up Brother Griffin and bringing him here. And I forgot to get this to you, but he's going to allow Chris Lodson, I think, sponsoring this meeting with the CJEC, is going to make sure that you have an opportunity to present. I forgot to tell you about that, but he asked me to give you the number or give him your number or give you his number. So, but I told him, I said, man, you know, him having your number, I don't know how crisply that responds, because I have a hard time getting them to call back. So, but I'll I'll get that number to you, Griff, after the program, and then you can make an effort to let him know that you are coming from L.A. and you deserve to have an opportunity to present. So let me see, what else is there? So, yeah, another thing is with spring coming, you guys want your carpet clean and stuff like that. I know somebody who has an excellent service. You ask me about it, and I'll brief you. They do floor cleaning, stone floor, linoleum floors, wood floors, as well as carpet cleaning. So, you know, with everybody looking, focusing on getting their spring cleaning done, just get with me, and I can refer you to someone who has an excellent service. So back to some of the things that were uncovered prior to the our announcement. And I have a couple more. I didn't have them written down. Let me see.
Okay, so we have Miss Moore and the mayor candidate, Dr. Flo. Tap in.
Right on. Thank you, brother, because I was getting the brain getting fogged up a minute. Okay, so we've made connections with the assistants and the people, the mediums for getting Dr. Flo Kofer running for mayor, and quite frankly, in the lead in the race for the mayor of the capital of California, Sacramento mayoral candidate. It's said to be coming on this program. We have to iron it down to get a timetable for it, but we've gotten that proposal that she would come on this network, as well as the attorney Camila Moore, who is one of the main authors, if not the author, of the reparations movement itself, who said that she will bless us with her presence on our network sometime in the future, and we're ironing that down. We will keep you apprised of the time so that you guys can be prepared and if you know anybody who's interested and want to hear these ladies speak on behalf of what they represent, make sure that we give them opportunity to hear it and to tune in, because these are powerful young ladies who have really, really stood out in their representation of what's going to move the needle for us as a people in this country. So be prepared to give them a warm welcome and give as much audience from anybody who is interested in knowing what's going on in that realm with the reparations, as well as what the race is for, mayoral campaign. Because, you know, just because she's a black woman, is not the main focal point for why we should support her. One of the things that she's been outstanding is she's been leveled. This, I wrote this on Facebook. I said, now, here we have someone for years has been looking at our circumstances from the eye view that we look at it at. So why not give someone an overview of the city that has the eye view that we have? Why wouldn't that be strategic? Why wouldn't that be the smartest thing we can do, is to give somebody that overview so that they can make sure that what they know is missing in this city can be restored or placed in there to make this city a thriving city for all. Then that's what I wrote on Facebook, and that's how I feel. So I think that it's important for us to continue to do the research that'll make us solid in our support for this woman to be our next mayor. Thank you, Tim, for reminding me. I almost muffed that.
I say, and so it is the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. 605-9861. Call in, chime in, tune in, but get in where you fit in. Marvell? All right, so Big Money Griff.
Yes, sir. I just want to.
All right, you're invited. So I want to say this before I give you the mic, Big Money Griff. Love you, brother. Love you. Can't wait to meet you.
Thank you, man.
I know you're one of my OGs. I'm only 58. I'll be 59 soon. So I'm like you, Seth. I respect my elders. And so, brother, you are always welcome anywhere I'm welcome. There's no separation.
All right.
There's no separation. Do not bring that to us like that, because that hurt my heart to say, here you say, I'm only going to come on these. Man, nuh-uh. We got to have you all the time, OG. You know,
okay.
we living to make your age and make a difference while we getting to your age, right? And so
yes, sir.
Please know that. There's no one going to attack on here. We all just want to be able to be heard with some of the opinions. Now, I got some opinions. I know y'all said, oh, this boy that lost his mind. I remember y'all, when I was talking about, I don't care if Trump, first of all, I said I wasn't going to vote. People, oh, man, there you go with that shit. And then the next thing you know, say, well, I don't care if Trump do win, because he ain't going to do nothing against me or for me. And the people, oh, man, shit, there you go again, right? So I know I'll be misunderstood as well, right? But you know what I ain't going to do? I ain't going to get in my feelings, and I ain't going to stop being who I am. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. If you receive it, good. If you don't, it's good, because I still got to go the way I'm going, and what I eat don't make you shit. Oops, my mic is on. Big buddy.
I say. Well, thank you, Brother Tim, for allowing me this opportunity. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's one thing to say we're not going to vote, but I mentioned it to Marvell, important that when you bring the mayor on, we want to find out what are the community issues. I want to emphasize community issues. Community issues is very important because that governs ourselves. But now when you talk about individuals, now is when we're tweaking into no reparations, no black vote. You have been bamboozling us for years. So what is your position, Mayor, in regards to reparations? What we're saying to you, Mayor, is this. We want to stimulate this economy. And the only way to stimulate this economy is by giving us reparations so we don't bust and grab. But more importantly, I have seen on the internet where people are talking about $1,300,000. We don't need $1,300,000 individually. We could use $1,300,000 individually, but we don't need $1,300,000. You can give us thousands of dollars like you did during COVID. But that's not the point I wanted to make. What is the point you want to make, Big Money? The point I wanted to make is this. We have seen on the internet where they say 60% are voting against reparations. Mayor, we would like for you to do a survey in your town or throughout the state of California for the victims. We're talking about the restaurants that have people sitting outside and they're scared to come to the restaurant and patronize their restaurant because they're afraid somebody's going to come by and take their pocketbook or hold them up. We want to go to the sneakers or the shoe stores like in Compton where they raided it 7 times. We want to ask the owners, do you support reparations or not? Do you want them to continue to do what they're doing or not? And I guarantee you, if you do that same principle with Macy's, 7-Eleven, these taco stands, and different things, the victims. We want a vote from the victims, the people who have the jury marks. You go to the jury marks. They're coming in there, busting and grabbing, and taking the the chains and rings and stuff. Do you want them to do that? No. Well, do you support reparations? Yeah, I want them to patronize my business. Now, how difficult is that, Mayor? How difficult is that? We want to flip the script. We've got to think outside the box, and that's what I want to try to get us to do. Think outside the box. I told you guys, and when you see me, you're going to see I'm every bit of basketball. And I'm a competitor. So where things are going against me, I'm going to try to flip the script and win. And that's the same thing in life. Every single competition that you have in life, we have always prevailed. Whether it was dancing, whether it was singing, whether it was football, basketball, soccer, golf, you name it, being movie stars, we excelled when we were given the opportunity. But when you denied us the opportunity, we couldn't do shit. But now, once you open that door, we all in. We all in, especially if that's what we want to do. So I have a problem taking a defeative attitude and a defeative mindset on anything. I think we can win if we just understand how we need to strategize to get our people to realize that in spite of all past years' adversity, success can still be obtained. What do you mean by that, Big Money? I mean that you know and I know that money can change you. And that's why me and Marvell has talked about money, 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 the OJ. Don't let money change you. Money changed our elected officials. They talked about our emotions. They got our emotions up, but then they left us alone. Why? Because of the love of money. And so what we got to do now is say, look, I love my people. And you were right when you said that, Tim. I have to admit, you were right. Me and whatchamacallit, we love our people. I love our people. I don't care how we are, you know, like I want to say to Double R. Double R, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And even though you say either you're planning, when I was coming up, it was either you're planning to fail or you're failing to plan. Now, I have planned. I have kept myself from planning to fail, kept myself from planning to fail by making sure that I got all the documentation of substantiation and verification of the reparations information for you all when I come up there this Saturday. But you have to understand, brother, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to do something and to say something. For instance, this is just a picture because Marvell's talked about this. He likes visuals. So I gave Marvell the visual. You got a banana. Everybody knows that when you got a banana, the normal way to peel a banana is by the stalk. But you can also peel a banana on the opposite end as well. It's the same difference. You're going to get the same result. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So when you say that, I tried to change. No, there's just more than one way to say a thing and do a thing, brother. And you need to understand that. You ain't got to understand that, but you need to understand that. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to do a thing. And that's the point that I'm trying to make with you. We were raised either you're planning to fail or you're failing to plan. Now, you say it a different way, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But don't think I'm trying to change. I ain't trying to change. I ain't trying to change you. Don't let money change you. Don't let money change. Marvell, Tim, you got to put that on and give us the brother to wake up everybody. But I want to hear my boy, the revolution won't be televised, but also I want to hear Martin Luther King when he was in jail for voting and how we succumbed that, because there was a time when we couldn't vote in America, and we changed that to where we can vote, and now we're at a point now in our lives where the men, the black men, are saying they're going to vote for Trump, and the black women, they're going to surpass, because we got more black women that say, that's my body, my choice, and they're going to win. Whether you're white, black, Latino, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Asian, multiracial, you're going to, the women are going to win when it comes to this particular election, when we talk about, are we going to be a democracy or are we going to be a dictatorship? And I assure you, I'd be surprised if we become a dictatorship. These people coming across the border, they're getting raped while they're in Mexico, and they're coming here because they want a democracy. They want to be able to get their nails done, get their hair done, have cars, have homes, and have different foods and stuff. They can't get that where they at. They got to eat one way and do things a certain way and be in fear. When you come here, you don't have that, and we're not going out like that. This is our country. We built this country, and we sustain this country. And nobody told you to bring that crack cocaine over here. You brought that cocaine over here and destroyed our people. When that cocaine hit our streets, it destroyed our people. I saw how they did it. I saw the heroin, and when I was in New York, because, see, I'm from New Jersey. I was born in North New Jersey, raised in Inglewood, New Jersey, but I'm in Inglewood, California. I'm an L.A. brother now, but, you know, I've been out here over 50-some years now, so I'm all L.A. now. But at the same time, you know, when I was there, I used to see cats on West Kenny Street, down the street from where Malcolm X used to speak, and he used to damn near act like he was going to fall. And I used to bet my buddies he going to fall this time, and they would never fall. But I learned from that. I learned from that. And that's all I'm trying to get you guys to understand, that in spite of adversity, success can still be obtained. We can still win. We ain't got to take a defeat of attitude. I'm a baller. Until that last second go off, I'm going to give you all I got. And if I'm qualified, bona fide, certified, I'm going to do what I got to do to win. I'm in it to win it. And I'm in it to show you how we can win. And it bothers me when I hear us talk about how we have high blood pressure, diabetes, and all that stuff. Stop eating that stuff that's causing you to do that. Stop doing it. Getting to drinking that Hennessy. Stop it. Stop doing it.
I say.
And there's so much.
That's
more.
Right.
But I digress. I'm sorry, brother. But I got to do what I got. I got to do the way the Lord tells me to do. The Lord tells me, Griff, let the youngsters say what they're going to say. Let them do what they're going to do. And let it go at that, because it's their world now. And you lived your world, and they blocked you, because, you know, when you was coming up, they didn't want the truth. That's why I'm slow. I'm on the slow drag. They don't want the truth. I'm the truth, guys. I'm the truth. I'm like that fire, that bush that's on fire. I'm like that bush. That's what I am. I will expose you. That's what I do.
Right on.
I'm a professional listener. I do this.
Right
this
on.
Is what I do.
Right on, brother.
Can I get it?
I'm
a quick second?
Hold on. Just a second. No. I want to do a formal introduction. Youssef, that is Morris Griffin or Big Money Griff. Big Money Griff, that is Youssef, not what's his name or whoever. You guys, get the names right. So y'all know each other now, so you can address each other by name, because it sounded a little something when you kept both of y'all saying, well, whoever that was and what's his name. Well, his name is McGriff, Money Griff, and his name is Youssef. All right. Who was that that wanted to come in?
That was Brother Youssef.
All right.
I want to bring something else to you guys' attention. And it's going to be very powerful if you have understanding. This has come from John. I speak for myself, so I speak straight out the scripts, right? John 16, KJV. It says here, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Ye, time cometh that whosoever killed you will think that he does God service. And things, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. For, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them, and that these things I said unto you, you at the beginning, because I was with you. So he's with us from the beginning. Check this out. But now I go away, Jesus speaking, to him that sent me, and none of you asks where with thou go. But because I said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, Jesus is saying. I got to go away, and I better go quick. For if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he comes, so it's a he that's coming, not Jesus, listen, he will reprove the world of sins. What does the word reprove mean? He's going to bring in, let me go to the dictionary. He, reprove means that he is to dispute, chasten, argue, correct, or prove. Prove what? Argue about what? So here we go. Righteousness of the judges and of the judges. Of the number nine, and of the sins, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of the judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you. He said, I got many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So that means he was out of due season. He had multiple things to say, but we could not understand it at that time. But he said in 13, but how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is to come, he will guide you into all truths. And he shall not speak of himself, but whoever he shall hear, and that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. So what are he going to do? Speak about the economy, economics. What are he going to tell you about Cyrus? What are he going to do? Tell you about this world and the corruption. What are he going to tell you? That there's a storm going over, brewing over there in the east and in the west, and Europe is falling. What are he going to tell you what Netanyahu's doing? What are he going to tell you? Prepare yourself to get ready to get out the way. We got comforters out here. But many of you don't want to hear because you're in your own way. You're looking for something. We all are. But you don't want to see. You want to stay like Lazarus in a shallow grave. When Christ came upon Lazarus and the woman screaming in the street said, hey, my brother's dead. Jesus walked up to him and said, no, he just buried in a shallow grave. Let me put some spittle on his eyes so he can see. What did he show him? Nigga, it's the government that killed you. The shallow grave is a grave of ignorance. Not able to see, not able to hear. There were people we put on this earth at this time that's going to show you some things that you've never heard, that you've never seen, and get you to hear things that you've never heard. And he's going to prepare you, get out the way. That's my stance. That's all I'm here to do. I'm not here to argue with no brothers. I mean, they argue about the government. I digress.
Ashe. And so I muted everyone because, as usual, I see that Brother Joe has just slid in, and I see Brother Mitchell has slid in, and I'm going to get to them in a minute. But as Big Money asked me to do, the letter from Birmingham Jail, here's something from Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, Martin Luther King... I don't have his version, but here's a version. What?
My dear fellow clergymen, while confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely. Seldom do I pause to answer such criticism of my work and ideas, but since I feel that you are men of genuine goodwill and that your criticisms are sincerely set forth, I want to try to answer your statements in what I hope will be patient and reasonable terms. I think I should indicate why I am here in Birmingham, since you have been influenced by the view which argues against outsiders coming in. I have the honor of serving as president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, an organization operating in every southern state with headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. Several months ago, the affiliate here in Birmingham asked us to be on call to engage in a nonviolent direct action program if such were deemed necessary. We readily consented, and when the hour came, we lived up to our promise. But more basically, I'm in Birmingham because injustice is here. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of community, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. You deplore the demonstrations taking place in Birmingham, but your statement, I am sorry to say, fails to express a similar concern for the conditions that brought about the demonstrations. I am sure that none of you would want to rest content with the superficial kind of social analysis that deals merely with effects and does not grapple with underlying causes. It is unfortunate that demonstrations are taking place in Birmingham, but it is even more unfortunate that the city's white power structure left the Negro community with no alternative. In any nonviolent campaign, there are four basic steps: collection of facts to determine whether injustices exist, negotiations, self-purification, and direct action. We have gone through all these steps in Birmingham. There can be no gainsaying the fact that racial injustice engulfs this community. Birmingham is probably the most thoroughly segregated city in the United States. Its ugly record of brutality is widely known. Negroes have experienced grossly unjust treatment in the courts. There have been more unsolved bombings of Negro homes and churches in Birmingham than in any other city in the nation. These are the hard, brutal facts of the case. On the basis of these conditions, Negro leaders sought to negotiate with the city fathers, but the latter consistently refused to engage in good faith negotiation. Then last September came the opportunity to talk with leaders of Birmingham's economic community. In the course of the negotiations, certain promises were made by the merchants. For example, to remove the store's humiliating racial signs. On the basis of these promises, the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth and the leaders of the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights agreed to a moratorium on all demonstrations. As the weeks and months went by, we realized that we were victims of a broken promise. A few signs, briefly removed, returned. The others remained. As in so many past experiences, our hopes had been blasted and the shadow of deep disappointment settled upon us. We had no alternative except to prepare for direct action, whereby we would present our very bodies as a means of laying our case before the conscience of the local and the national community. Mindful of the difficulties involved, we decided to undertake a process of self-purification. We began a series of workshops on nonviolence, and we repeatedly asked ourselves, are you able to accept blows without retaliating? Are you able to endure the ordeal of jail? You might well ask, why direct action? Why sit-ins, marches, and so forth? Isn't negotiation a better path? You are quite right in calling for negotiation. Indeed, this is the very purpose of direct action. Nonviolent direct action seeks to create such a crisis and foster such a tension that a community which has constantly refused to negotiate is forced to confront the issue. It seeks so to dramatize the issue that it can no longer be ignored. My citing the creation of tension as part of the work of the nonviolent resistor may sound rather shocking, but I must confess that I am not afraid of the word tension. I have earnestly opposed violent tension, but there is a type of constructive, nonviolent tension which is necessary for growth. Just as Socrates felt that it was necessary to create a tension in the mind so that individuals could rise from the bondage of myths and half-truths to the unfettered realm of creative analysis and objective appraisal, so must we see the need for nonviolent gadflies to create the kind of tension in society that will help men rise from the dark depths of prejudice and racism to the majestic heights of understanding and brotherhood. The purpose of our direct action is to create a situation so crisis-packed that it will inevitably open the door to negotiation. I therefore concur with you in your call for negotiation. Too long has our beloved Southland been bogged down in a tragic effort to live in monologue rather than dialogue. One of the basic points in your statement is that the action that I and my associates have taken in Birmingham is untimely. My friends, I must say to you that we have not made a single gain in civil rights without determined legal and nonviolent pressure. Lamentably, it is an historical fact that privileged groups seldom give up their privileges voluntarily. Individuals may see the moral light and voluntarily give up their unjust posture, but as Reinhold Niebuhr has reminded us, groups tend to be more immoral than individuals. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed in the view of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see with one of our distinguished jurists that justice too long delayed is justice denied. We have waited for more.
And so I have to stop right there. I have to stop right there because this is 58 minutes long. I don't even know if that's what Big Money Grip was talking about, but I seen this was the only letter out of Birmingham jail that Martin Luther King is showing up on the YouTube. So Big Money Grip, is this what you were talking about? I just want a yes or no.
No, that's not the one. The one that I was talking about talked about Dr. King. Actually, Dr. King, you can hear Dr. King talking.
Okay,
but,
thank you.
I hear you coming with that money.
Yeah, I'm going to move forward because it was a request, and that's what a DJ does. I do requests, right? And so I'm going to do more research on that because that was my first time listening to that letter, and I'm going to narrow down, and then I'm going to get with you, Big Money Grip, because we're going to find out what you're saying. We're going to play that, just like you said, this money song. You heard? You're on the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Some people really need it. Listen to me, y'all. You
Yeah, and that's about 8 or 9 minutes long. We ain't got that much longer on the show. 23 minutes remaining on this show. It is 36 after the hour, wherever you are. It's 36 minutes after the hour. Going to go back to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. But before I go there, I want to invite in Brother Joe and Brother Mitch. Brother Joe, you on mute? Brother Joe? Okay.
Yeah. I said, how you guys doing this morning on that letter? You know, that was written some time ago, and two things struck me, but we don't have a whole lot of time. So when I get on tomorrow morning, I got something.
All right. You faded in and you faded out, but you got something to say tomorrow when you get on, and I'm going to put you on. Brother Mitch?
Hey, hello, gentlemen. God bless everyone. I'm just listening in today. I'm in work in Berkeley, so I won't be charming in too much because I got one of the guys I work with. He don't realize we all black. He's black, but he's a little white. But on that note, I'm out.
Okay, I'm going to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. I'm opening everyone's phone line. Please make sure that you're on mute. Without further ado, here's your host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Now, how many people or how many groups, when they're addressing the other ethnics or other cultures or other races or other groups, have to contour their behavior to blend in with the groups that you're in? Because that's what the brother just got to say. He said, you know, it's difficult for me to be in an environment where there are non-blacks and for them to hear what's going on, a bunch of blacks, because it's going to cause some kind of conflict or confusion. How many other groups have to have that concern? I don't know of any. When I go into the Arab store, they talking, you know, they might speak English, but they're speaking in their language, and they do it freely. They don't make an adjustment for us. They don't start talking, you know, using our jargon in order to woo us into the buying mentality. They just keep talking.
Brother, but
whatever
you misunderstood. You misunderstood. He said he's with a brother that seems to be white. So he was talking about
man.
A Negro. He was talking, let me clarify it. Hold on. I see Double R with his hand up. But let me clarify it for you. He didn't say it was the white man. He said it was his brother that act like a white man that he got to get off this thing and get to work. That's what he was saying. So let me get
man.
To Double R, and then we'll get right back to you. Double R, go ahead.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Brother Yusuf, I remember you was on here January 12th. I had to go back and look when I got your number initially. And you did say something. First of all, you see me like a prophet. You prophesy, and I appreciate it. But however, the Bible tells me if you lie on one of them, that everything is false. So January 12th, you quoted and said that Chase Bank, because I have two accounts there, I have a business and a person.
Okay, who is that? Oh, that's Miss Clarice. I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you quoted that Chase Bank will be closing in a week or two. And like I say, that was January 12th. A week or two came by. I was going to call you, but I didn't. But I'm glad you're on the phone. And to me, that was false prophesying. And once again, you quoted it different when it was talked about rapture, about Trump. So can you explain?
Yes, sir. If you go back and listen to the video, I said banks.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Okay, wait, yeah. Can we pull it back up because we have all this, we got receipts on this. If y'all get a chance,
okay.
Pull up January 12th, the conversation between Double R and Yusuf. I yield.
Okay. If you go back and look at the tapes, I said banks will be closing. And I don't know if you asked me if Chase banks were closing, but I said multiple banks. Okay. Well, I said multiple banks will be closing, as including Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, Deutsche Bank, Manhattan Bank. Many banks will be closing because of Basel IV compliance. Now, if you want to understand what Basel IV compliance is, Google and start reading. So when you look at and listen, I said multiple bank branches are closing because the banks are suffering. They were asked to bring in receipts for all of their assets to the Federal Reserve. This was the Basel IV compliance. Now, when you listen to TED Talk and these financial gurus, hold on, let me finish, my brother. Let me finish. These gurus talking about the bank crisis.
Oh, that's not me.
All right, mute your phones, man. Please, mute your phones.
Also, you can Google since January the 12th that you quoted, and Google how many bank branches are closing. And I'm telling you that they are closing because they have to bring in their assets that they lied about to the Federal Reserve. So this was causing the banking issues, where they're closing down a lot of branches. I didn't say the door was going to officially shut yet. The door's not going to shut until the dollar collapse. But they're shutting branches. And they're stealing money. You can Google that as well. They're stealing money from multiple people going in trying to get $30,000. Money's missing. And they're giving them the runaround. These people are trying to balance their books. That's why the stock market is overflated right now. If the economy was doing so well, as it says, as it stated in the stock market, in the NASDAQ and in the Dow, we wouldn't have people starving in the streets. Everything is overflated. You're looking at a dying empire. That's all I was pretty much stating, my brother.
Well, if I can remember, you said they was going to close and take your money out. So that's what you said, that they was going to close and take your money out.
I agree. I'm still saying that today.
Can I finish, boss?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, specifically, if we can pull the tape up, and I yield to the jury, I yield. If you can pull this tape up on January 12th, and you can hear exactly what he said, I yield.
Okay. Let me jump in. So in order for us to do that, I'm going to need y'all to go to blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. One more time. Blogtalkradio.com. Go in the search engine and look for Wise Words with One Gone Show. It will pull up a archive that you can go back. It's going to be every show we done did. All you're going to look for is January 12th. You hit the link. It will pull up the show, and you can sit back at any time you want to listen at that and then come back and dispute that, right? So I say it again, blogtalkradio.com. Go in the search engine. Look for the Wise Words with One Gone Show, our show. This is our show. And look for January 12th and listen to the show. And then come back and let's revisit this again. So with that being said.
Let me say one thing, though, brother. Just one second. It's going to take 1 second, family. What I have been telling multiple people that talk in my circle and amongst people that I don't know, is that keep your bill money in the bank, because that's how you pay your bills. Take majority of your money out. Take majority of your cash out. That's what I've been telling folks. That's what I do personally. But the banks are going to crash. I digress.
Ashe, and some have. You know, they tried to bail a few of them out in the last 6, 7, 8 months, and they did televise that. But I'm going to keep moving because we're short of time. I want to hear from, let's see, who haven't I heard from today? Brother Sherman, are you available?
Yeah, I'm on the live road. It's a pretty interesting day today. I don't want to, man, that's propaganda is like a flying madman. Bye.
Hey, y'all, we are in it to win it. Let me tell you about us as a people, boy. Look here, man, we move mountains and don't even know we do it, right? It's just natural. Yes, damn, it's a natural mist in the air. So, going back to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell, it is on you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You know, what was on my mind to present, had, you know, when we get immersed in these conversations, it's very fascinating, all of the different aspects and the different avenues that we can take to get to the same. It's like back in the day when they had war, they used to say you conquer the beach by air, land, or by sea. A combination of the three, or one of the three, but the objective is to conquer the beach. So we have a whole lot of different perspectives, and we have a whole lot of different convictions. And what I'm finding is that some are more daunting than others, but none are not lacking the want to be considered. We have to weigh it out and use our critical thinking and use our rationale and use our ability and moreover, lean to the relationship you have with the Spirit of God. And if you don't have one, it might be time to tap in to what the Spirit of God is telling you about what's happening and what you're hearing and what course of action you might take. But one of the things that I had in my mind to come out here to introduce for consideration is what I learned was most important to practice while I was getting clean and in recovery, in the process of recovery from my drug usage and my addictive and obsessive behavior, and that is called practicing principle over personality. And I'll give you an example of what that means. Right now, I would dare to say the most sought, well, I ain't gonna say, yeah, I guess sought after, but the most lucrative shoe company in the world is Nike. And that was launched by Spike Lee and Michael Jordan when they made that commercial. And they used those two personalities to market that tennis shoe. The next thing you know, it's the most sold tennis shoe in the world. So that to me is a clear example of personality over principle, because those shoes, when they first started making them, they made them with some fairly quality material. Now, they're all man-made material, man-made, glued together, and not rubber bottoms. It's another man-made synthetic. Everything is synthetic about it. But because of the personalities that introduced it and continue to market it, we make decisions based upon those personalities rather than the principle or the quality of the shoe. So I'm looking around and I'm seeing that a lot of personalities are overcalling our ability to observe principle. A lot of politicians have that ability to influence people with their personality. But when you ask them for their principles and ask them for their policies and ask them for what they're going to do
to help the masses that got gobbledygook to respond, because there doesn't seem to be their thrust. Their thrust is to use the power of their personality to stay in the limelight and acquire the things that they want to do and work with their constituencies they want and F everybody else. That's what it appears to be. So I just want to observe or hear someone talk about what their observations or their opinions about when we allow personality to overshadow what's principally sound. So maybe we can open that up tomorrow, or we can revisit it, or we can get it started. But principle over personality is not what we're observing, to my analysis. What we're observing now is personality over principle. And I'll yield for responses.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
That's Brother Gil Scott Heron. Man, what a poet there. He was the first rapper I remember. Oops, is my mic on? The rest of y'all's is off. We're about to get off this broadcast, but tomorrow's a new day, and we got a lot to say, right? You know, when we go through these moments on this show, I thank God for the ability to have this show, to be able to talk to people from all over, right? We got Big Money in L.A., Double R in L.A. We have callers from the Bay. You know, we just have people coming on and breaking the silence. That's what I want to say. Because for so long we've been silent with one another. That's why we don't communicate well, right? And so what I want you all to know, man, I know that you can communicate effectively, and so you do when you want to. So want to more often, right? Because we need understanding in all that has been said. We need understanding. I'm lost, me myself. I've been a dope game all my life. My daddy died when I was 9. Nobody showed me the way. I made the way. I'm like Big Money Griff. I'm a competitor. I compete. But I don't step on nobody's feet as I compete. I do my thing in my lane with those that want to be in the lane I'm in. I don't try to make judgment or pass judgment. I don't try to change your mind by the things I do or say. I hope that you see me for who I am, as each man should do day to day. There's right, there's wrong, there's good, there's bad. We all know this. We just need to know that we are a people that are still in the wilderness. There's some people that are a little bit on the top of the mountain looking down to some of us that are still in the wilderness lost. And we ask that you give us understanding. Help us realize who we are, where we come from, and where the hell we going. Them are some wise words from One Gone, and I thank y'all for being on this show. Now, I'm going to go into the gospel section because when I get off this show, man, I be full, right? And I need God to take control of my thoughts as I leave this show. I don't want to have something that I heard work my nerve that takes my day away from me, because this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody, one of my OGs said that, and y'all probably know about that, but we got to be thankful that we're able to even discuss things like this, because back in the day, they'd cut your head off trying to bring reality to reality, right? They didn't want us to communicate with one another in hopes that we stay lost. So, y'all, we not lost. We just don't understand sometimes. So in all things that you do, make sure you get understanding. Them are wise words from One Gone. I'm going to end that show like that, and I'm going just like this. You can ride if you want to, but if you hang up after 11, we'll talk to you tomorrow. It's the gospel.
Some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some lonely nights. But when I look around, and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Can I say that one more time? I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb.
I've had some weary days, and some sleepless nights. But when I look around, yeah, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been so good to me. Has he been good? He's been good to me. More than this whole world you could ever be. He's been so good. Tell me. You know what he did? He dried all of my tears away. Turn my midnight in today. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due, don't know where the money coming from. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't. Yeah. I won't complain. God has been so good to me. He's been good to me. More than this whole world you could ever be. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. So good. So good. So good. So good. Tell me, me. Yeah, and dry all of my tears away. He ever stop you from crying? Turn my midnight in today. So I just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Can you tell them, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It dries. Every one of my tears away. Midnight and today. So instead of complaining, I learned how to lift them hands, look up toward heaven, and say, thank you, Lord. Tell him, thank you, Lord. 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 I won't complain. I won't complain. I know it's time to go home, but I won't complain. I used to, but I won't. I could, but I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. Can you say yes? Say yes. Say yes. 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 Yes.
It's no harm to pray. Complaining. Some of y'all been mumbling. Some of y'all been grumbling. But you ought to thank God for bringing you this far. You ought to thank God for bringing you from a mighty long way. And you're all right. And you're all right. You ought to stand on your feet and praise the Lord.
Director, said, listen, would you let me sing a song? He said, I got a song that I want to sing. But you know what that choir director told him? He said, old man, you too old to sing in this choir. He said, you got a trembling in your voice. Look ahead. Hurt the old man's feelings. And y'all might not believe it, but when you get old, won't folks do you like that? When you get old, people will just push you on aside. But they went to church the next Sunday morning, and they noticed that the old man wasn't sitting in the corner. And they went on back to church that next Sunday morning, and they knew that the old man still wasn't sitting in the corner. They get worried now. And they went on back that day, Sunday morning, and they knew that the old man still wasn't sitting in the corner. Somebody began to ask questions about it. Did anybody seen the old man? Look at here. Is anybody heard from the old man? Finally, a voice just came down from heaven way. I believe I'm gonna let Daddy tell you what the voice said. By the time they recognized who voice it was, and everybody began to look up toward heaven, and an old man voice began to talk to him. He said, cheering one thing about this choir that I sing with now. He said, we don't have to wait until Sunday morning. Together, and we sing songs that you never heard in your life. And if y'all don't mind, if y'all don't mind, if y'all don't mind, gonna let Daddy tell you what he's saying one more time, Jesus. When we get there, what I like about it, there'll be no more senior choir, no more young adult choir, no more inspirational choir. But I'm talking about when we get there, everybody's gonna get together. No more jealousy, no more hatred, no more envy. About. You know how sometimes your body gets tired? You see, there'll be no more Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. But every day is gonna be Sunday, y'all. I better let this alone. This thing getting good to me. Let me ask you something. Can I let Daddy sing?
Can I let Daddy sing? If it's all right if I let him sing, let me hear you say yeah.
You know, I've been waiting a long time for this. You know, I tell you, I've been waiting a long time. I've been singing with Daddy 17 years. We've had a lot of ups and downs, but I want y'all to know it makes me feel good to be able to stand here tonight. Y'all excuse me for a minute. It makes me feel good tonight to be able to stand here and put my arms around my daddy. I love my daddy, y'all. Somebody got a good daddy like me. Somebody got a good daddy like me tonight. Somebody. But somebody here ain't got no daddy. But those of you that don't have a daddy, let me ask you something. I don't want you to say it because I'm asking you, but if this fits the way you feel, let me ask you something. Won't God be a father for you? Won't God be a father for you? One of these days, when this old war is over, we're gonna take off these old shoes we got on, put on a pair of golden slippers. Take off these old suits we got on, put on a long white robe. I'm gonna let my daddy tell you what we're gonna do when we get there.
I will say something and then I'm going to get right back to y'all, man. Watch this. We ain't able to speak, just like Papa wasn't able to sing in that choir, you see. And so once they let him sing, I say sang. He ain't sing. He sang. Boy, he tore that thing up, didn't he? I just want to thank y'all for riding, letting God have his way in our lives, man. You know, we as a people need more of him and less of us, right? To direct us and correct us at the same time. Here's Dr. Shirley Caesar. I'm playing different music because we got a long way to go and a short time to get there, y'all.
Wanna tell a story now. About a man. Called Shouting John. John joined a dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But early one Sunday morning, they opened the doors of that old dead church. John joined that old dead church. Well, when John little dead church. He came in. All around the church, they tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned the hands loose, the feet were going. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. Shut up in the bone. They did everything they could to stop old John. When they could not stop him, they made up in their mind, we gotta go out to John's house, y'all. But doesn't he know we don't act like that in our church? Doesn't John know we got 65 people and they're in our church? We're going. We're going to John's house. Where? When they got out there, come. They found. This 90-year-old man, him and an old Peter Pew. Flowers. Got out of their fine car. They had a Lexus, Mercedes, Jaguar. But little deacon there even had a little Volkswagen. But they got out of their fine cars. When John looked around and saw him coming, he looked at that old Peter Mule. He said, John turned around and said, I know why you come out here. You come out here to tell me that I've been dancing too much. You come out here to tell me that I've been praising the Lord too much. But what you don't know is that the Lord's been good to me. Has he been good to you? Has the Lord been good to you? One of the deacons walked over to him. Said, John, if you don't sit down and be quiet, we're going to put you out of our church. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Did you see all of that land? Did you all just drove in on? He said, God gave me all of that land. You don't want to let me praise the Lord in your church. Why, fellas, I want you to bend over and look. Come on, bend down. Go. He said, I'm still able to harvest my own crop. Stay right there. I'm still able to walk down the avenue. And not only that, but look at him. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, but potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it! God name it! When I was sick, he healed me. When I was put outdoors, he put a roof over my head. Have you got anything to praise him for tonight? Since I can't shout in your church, I've got something I want you to do for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Mark the Disciple.
Here I am, praising God along with you, brothers. Peace and blessings.
Yes, yes. Mama Chocolate. Mama Chocolate is on. She texted me and she said some things in her text that we're going to talk about tomorrow, too. Big Money Grip.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. God is good, ain't he?
All the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And
thank
Sister
you,
Clerk.
Thank you for
yes.
Thank you for that. Thank you for those gospel songs, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anytime, brother. Mama Clarice, First
yes,
Lady
I'm on.
Of
Thank
Radio.
You.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you. We need this. Yes, praises to God. Oh, man. Amen. Amen.
Hey, y'all, just continue to ride, man, because the God that I serve and you serve is real. He is real. The Holy Spirit is in this place right now. And I want to thank God for saving me, sparing me, giving me another chance at this life I live.
I remember growing up as a boy in Durham, North Carolina. My daddy told me, he said, John Jr., don't you ever give up. No, you gotta live right to fight the fight of faith, and you make it all the way. Oh, yes, you will. I've had some trials in this life of mine, but I've never been forsaken. I've had troubles many, many, many times, but I thank God today, yeah. My faith has never been shaken. Listen, out of all my tears that I've shed, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So I made up in my mind, oh, I am gonna make it. I've got that old school determination, yeah.
Spending all the money, she found that her faith was sealed. She knew if she touched the hem of his garment, that old issue of blood, her body would be healed. So out of everything, yeah, that you go.
Father, listen.
Don't you give up, no.
Don't you give up.
Yeah.
He's gonna keep me.
I'm gonna make it.
He's gonna keep me.
I'm gonna make it.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it. Yeah,
I'm gonna make it.
Thank you, Jesus. I know I am.
I'm gonna make it.
People have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I've come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest point.
You cannot
imagine.
You cannot imagine.
But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave
my story.
My story through that dark and
deliverance.
Upon me.
have a testimony to sing this one. Look somebody in the face and say,
can't imagine what I'm going through.
God did it.
God did it.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Peace!
take you back some more. This is called I Belong to You.
Oh, man, I hate to leave right now, but I got to go, man. I thank y'all for listening to this part of the show, man, because God has always done what he said he's going to do for me. He didn't do it when I wanted him to, but he always came through. And I know there's some witnesses out there that can bear witness to the power of God and what God means to them individually and collectively. I bid y'all farewell. Have a good rest of your day, and may God continue to bless you, to bless others. Peace.